to limit your exposure to GMO foods, follow the Institute for Responsible Technology's 4-step protocol. 1. Buy organic. 2. Look for non-GMO project seals. 3. Avoid the at-risk ingredients mentioned previously. 4. Buy products listed in the non-GMO shopping guide, available on the Institute for Responsible Technology website, responsibletechnology.org. Also, join the fight against GMOs by supporting the Just Label It campaign, justlabelit.org, to change legislation so that GMO foods are clearly labeled, enabling consumers to make more informed purchasing choices. When evidence points toward potentially significant, widespread or irreparable harm to health or the environment, options to avoid harm should be pursued, even if harm is not yet fully understood or proven. Glyphosate. Would you like some poison on that oatmeal? One of the most troubling aspects of GE food is the explosion of the use of Monsanto herbicide Roundup, the most widely used herbicide in the world. It is not only used during the cultivation of 80% of GE foods, but it's also sprayed on lots of non-GE crops to speed up harvesting. Conventional wheat, barley, rye, potatoes, sweet potatoes, edible beans, soy, corn, sugarcane, sunflower seed, buckwheat, millet, and more are all, according to organizations who report on biotech industry, routinely sprayed shortly before the crops are picked and then turned into your morning cereal or healthy vegetarian foodstuff. It's also widely sprayed in parks and gardens, along roads and on golf courses, maybe even in your own apartment complex or your neighbor's yards. The World Health Organization has classified the primary ingredient in this herbicide, glyphosate, as a probable carcinogen, an absolutely damning classification that the biotech industry fought tooth and nail to avoid, and countless stories of serious illness in farming communities are emerging. Studies show it kills the benevolent bacteria in your microbiome, and among the many side effects of ingesting it are reproductive problems, liver, kidney and skin cell damage, and antibiotic resistance. It's shown to be an endocrine disruptor, even at the low levels permitted in tap water, and to kill beneficial gut bacteria. It also damages the DNA in human embryonic, placental and umbilical cord cells, and is linked to birth defects and reproductive problems in laboratory animals. Not surprisingly, one study showed chronically ill humans had higher glyphosate residues in their urine than healthy humans. Despite this, the EPA has for years failed to measure the levels of glyphosate on our foods like it does with other herbicides and pesticides, though this may now be changing due to consumer demand. Unfortunately, because Roundup is the most widely used herbicide in the world, it pervades the entire food chain. It is in drinking water and even rainwater, in plants, animals, and the blood of every human tested so far. The devastating effects of glyphosate use will become a very big story in the next few years. But don't wait to clean up your diet, especially if you are already suffering from a chronic condition, planning to conceive a child, or have young children in your home. And be proactive about investigating whether herbicides are used by landscapers where you live and play. Learn more about glyphosate at detoxproject.org or read Whitewash, The Story of a Weed Killer, Cancer and the Corruption of Science by Carrie Gillam, which exposes the corporate and government cover-ups behind this dangerous herbicide's explosive growth. Get a water filter. Make this single investment in your home and workplace infrastructure. It is not a soft and fluffy lifestyle choice. It's a safety measure on par with wearing a seatbelt or looking both ways before crossing the street. Here's why. Today's tap water is exposing you to a cocktail of unwanted chemical contaminants. Of the 316 chemical contaminants found by the Environmental Working Group in tap water nationwide, only 114 are subject to any government regulation or safety standards, and even these safety levels are unreliable, as they do not account for typical spikes in the supply. They include chlorine, fluorine compounds, disinfectant byproducts, pesticides, herbicides like glyphosate, and other volatile organic compounds, as well as assorted hormones from hormone medication and traces of other prescription drugs, which are especially problematic for pregnant women. They can even include highly fluorinated toxic chemicals from Teflon manufacturing, known as PFCs, as well as traces of metals like arsenic and lead. Some of these things can hurt your liver, kidneys, and reproductive organs. Many of them mess with your hormones, and others are linked to various medical conditions like obesity and cancer. The long-term effects of many of these contaminants and their effects in combination with each other are unknown. Toxin spotlight. The chlorine, used to treat water while reducing bacteria that could cause waterborne diseases, does so at the cost of good bacteria in your gut. It also creates a huge array of disinfectant byproducts, including a dangerous group called trihalomethanes that are suspected carcinogens and can be especially problematic for babies in utero. Most carbon filtration systems remove these byproducts. A shower filter is just as important as a drinking water filter, because skin absorbs contaminants too. In fact, 10 minutes spent in the shower equates to drinking 1 gallon of water, and the chlorine byproducts are even more volatile in that hot, steamy environment. Shower filters are affordable and easy to install, and bath filters are also available for your tub faucet. Aquasana and Berkey are just two of the brands making these. What kind of filter should I get? Any filter is better than none. While a whole house filtration system is ideal, it is pricey. You'll probably want to start by looking for a drinking water filter certified by the independent testing group, NSF. To simplify, there are 4 major types. Under the sink. Typically reverse osmosis filters. These remove the most contaminants, including the rocket fuel contaminant perchlorate, but they use a considerable amount of water to create each gallon of pure water. Countertop, carbon block-based, they remove more contaminants than pitcher systems. Faucet-mounted, these remove most major contaminants, though may slow water flow slightly. Pitchers and carafes, these remove considerable contaminants, but typically don't clear all the disinfectant byproducts or lead. Whichever filtration system you use for drinking and bathing, change filters regularly, according to manufacturer's instructions, so it functions effectively. Use the Environmental Working Group's Water Filter Buying Guide at ewg.org to get specific information on filter systems and what contaminants they remove, and start with their tap water database to see how your municipal water stacks up. Protect your skin ecology. Just as your gut has an ecosystem of infinite bacteria that exists to keep life and health in balance, so does your skin. Your skin is the main barrier between your inner physiology and the outside world, and the microbiome not only protects it against pathogens, it acts as its immune system. It is also a mirror of the state of your inner health. When any of your systems, such as endocrine, digestive, or immune, are imbalanced, that may be reflected in the state of your skin. That's why tending to skin issues at the root causes, rather than just topically, which for many people means eliminating aggravating foods and repairing the gut, is often a more effective means for clearing them up. Also, just like with your gut, the microbiota, community of organisms on your skin, can experience a dysbiosis, which is an imbalance in which unhelpful bacteria take over and helpful bacteria get suppressed. When this occurs, you might experience skin irritation and disorders like acne, eczema, and rosacea, heightened sensitivity, slower healing, and more tendency to infection, or you just may not look quite as radiant as you'd like. Take care of this all-important ecosystem by considering its needs every day. Antibacterials, High concentrations of drying alcohols and harsh cleansing agents can upset the microbiome balance, strip the skin barrier, also called the acid mantle, of its protective lipids, and disrupt its healthy pH level, which should be around 5.5. Products that are too alkaline, above a pH level of 9.0, or too acidic, below 3.0, should be avoided due to their potential to upset the biome and pH balance of healthy skin. Some forward-looking beauty companies address this directly. Drunk Elephant, a non-toxic brand developed to help restore the skin's natural, healthy state, lists the pH of its products on the box. As research mounts about the importance of skin's microbiome and how to keep it healthy, beauty experts increasingly recommend that if you struggle with persistent skin issues, you should give your skin its own form of detox. Often, it's the stuff we put on our skin in an attempt to fix its issues that causes the problems. By removing the bad stuff, identifying and removing any alkaline, drying or antibacterial formulas, and tempering the habit of cleansing in the morning, which can strip the acid mantle unnecessarily, imbalanced skin gets a clean break, allowing its barrier and the microbiome to recover on their own terms. Then you can feed and nourish the skin with good, clean ingredients in well-formulated products, just as you would nourish any other organ. A lifestyle that includes regular sweat sessions will support you on this quest. Perspiration from exercise, saunas, and especially outdoor activity, with a little dirt mixed in, is the ideal prescription for keeping your skin biome healthy, because sweat supports the healthy balance of protective bacteria. It's like prebiotics for the probiotics on your skin. There's another important reason to quit using antibacterial cleansing products on your face and body, as well as in your home. The widespread adoption of these products correlates with a rise in allergies, because they deprive us of natural immune-stimulating exposure to pathogens. Take sanitation too far, and it can cause the much-needed diversity of flora on your microbiome to weaken. Tip: if your day doesn't present options for a sweat-streaked blast of nature, you can spritz it on instead, using ammonia-oxidizing bacteria facial sprays from companies like Mother Dirt. These deliver live probiotics to your skin to help restore its naturally balanced state. Soak up some sun. What if you thought of your skin as one big solar panel that converts waves of ultraviolet light into health-protecting vitamins and immunity-boosting energy? Your solar panel needs to be cared for thoughtfully and safely, of course, but it wants exposure to sunlight, something that is as essential to your functioning as food and water. Sunlight is the primary way your body makes vitamin D, a steroid with hormone-like activities, which regulates the function of over 200 genes and is necessary for bone building, inflammation control, neurological and cardiovascular function, fighting depression, and, very critically, preventing many kinds of cancer. Food can provide some vitamin D, but in much lower amounts. New science shows how sunlight also energizes the T cells that play a central role in your immunity. Yet indoorsy lifestyles have robbed us of this ultra-protective element. 80% of Americans are deficient in vitamin D, and we're only starting to understand what the consequences may be. I recommend testing your levels periodically, if you can, and whenever possible, combining sensible sun exposure with supplementation as needed. In our all-or-nothing culture, we've lost a balanced relationship with the sun. How to get your D on. In our all-or-nothing culture, we've lost a balanced relationship with the sun, either underestimating its power and burning or damaging our skin, or shirking it entirely. There is a middle road, however, developing a safe personal strategy for sun exposure. First, it's important to understand that UVB rays are what help you generate vitamin D, though in excess, they also cause burning, while UVA rays contribute to aging and the damage that causes skin cancer. UVB rays only hit you when the sun is at an angle of 35 degrees above the horizon, so your body can only make vitamin D in the middle of the day, even in sunny places. But you can still suffer damage from UVA rays at any time. Your latitude and altitude also affect UVB rates. In winter, locations more than 35 degrees from the equator will not deliver UVB rays, so supplementation will be needed. One of the quickest ways to figure out how to get the best UVB exposure is to use an app called D-Minder, which, using your skin tone, age, body type, geographic location, and current weather, calculates how many minutes you need in the sun to generate optimal D without burning. Note that UVA rays penetrate windows, but UVB rays do not. Don't try to sun yourself through glass. Now, get outside. Daily exposure of large amounts of bare and unprotected skin to sunlight, for just the amount of time it takes before you become pink in any way, will optimize your D levels. This could be 5 minutes if you are very fair-skinned, or much more if you are dark-skinned and tend not to burn. Exposing yourself to sun in steady, incremental amounts will help you safely build to longer stints. The inexpensive SunFriend wristband can help you monitor your exposure and warn you when to cover up. Protect your face while in the sun, as this skin is delicate and prone to aging and wrinkles. When you've reached your max for that day, cover up, seek shade, or use a healthy chemical-free sunblock, a mineral-based product that uses zinc oxide or titanium to physically block sun rays by reflecting and scattering them as safest. It protects against both UVB and UVA rays. Also, don't overestimate the protection that sunblock gives. One of the primary causes of sunburn and skin cancer is the use of poor quality sunscreens, which may prevent burning but don't properly defend against the UVA rays that cause melanoma, combined with a false sense of security. I've got sunblock on. I can stay out here for hours. Reapply often and be sensible about layering up with t-shirts, pants, hats, or rash guards if you are going to be outside for a long time. Finally, but critically, stay boosted with supplementation as needed. When daily sunlight is not available, you'll need a vitamin D3 supplement. D3, aka cholecalciferol, is the type of vitamin D your body produces in response to sun exposure, while D2, aka ergocalciferol, is a synthetic form. Avoid it. Look for a D3 supplement that is combined with vitamin K2, and take it with a meal that includes some healthy fat, because vitamin D is fat-soluble and requires some fat to be absorbed. Most people need anywhere between 2,000 and 10,000 units per day, depending on their blood levels. Higher doses should only be taken under doctor's supervision. Symptoms like a metallic taste in the mouth, increased thirst, itchy skin, muscle aches and pains, urinary frequency, nausea, and diarrhea and/or constipation can be signs that your D3 dose may be too high, though this is rare. Test your vitamin D levels. Reasonably priced testing kits from the Vitamin D Council offer an easy way to test yourself and your family. Testing twice a year in spring and fall is ideal. Most doctors look for an adequate reading of a serum 25 OHD level, greater than 20 ng/mL. But this number is on the low end. An optimal range of 50 to 80 ng/mL is where you want to be. If your levels are low, it's wise to check with your doctor before leaping into excessive supplementation, especially if you're on medications such as cholesterol-lowering drugs, corticosteroids and seizure medications, or have any kind of kidney disease. Become a healthier housekeeper. Entire books are written on ways to minimize the toxic load of the products and furnishings you live with. Here's why. The EPA says that pollution inside the home can be 2 to 5 times greater than outside. Due to irritants and contaminants in the products we use daily, off-gassing chemicals from materials and furnishings, and even chlorine byproducts emitted from toilets, a good reason to keep the toilet lid closed. Household cleaners are not regulated by law or required to meet legal safety standards, nor is it a requirement that their ingredients be listed, even though many of the most commonly used ones have been linked to asthma, cancer, reproductive disorders, hormone disruption, and neurotoxicity. From endocrine-disrupting phthalates to mystery fragrances to noxious fumes in oven cleaners, the impact and the synergistic reactions of multiple chemicals used together are largely unknown. Unlike outdoor pollution, removing these interferences to being well is fairly easy to do. Start by using this stripped-down survival guide to mastering a greener and cleaner for you home. Remove the most toxic cleaning products. Air fresheners, even those labeled green, natural, or with essential oils. Studies that tested a range of air fresheners found they all emitted compounds classified as hazardous under U.S. federal laws, including carcinogenic ones. Instead, open windows, increase ventilation, and use fans, air purifiers, and essential oil diffusers. Antibacterial products for hands and household. These contribute to drug-resistant bacteria. Fabric softeners and dryer sheets. Both have been shown to cause allergies or asthma and can irritate the lungs. Add a little vinegar in the rinse cycle instead. Drain cleaners and oven cleaners. These can burn eyes and skin. Instead, use a drain snake or plunger in drains and try a DIY paste of baking soda and water in the oven. Replace cleaners with failing grades. When each bottle or pack of soap, detergent, spray, polish or scrub runs out, take a minute to look at its rating on the Environmental Working Group's Guide to Healthy Cleaning. Be sure to rate your window cleaners, which may contain toxic solvents, harsh surface and toilet bowl cleaners, and anything fragranced, as fragrances typically use a cocktail of unknown ingredients, including phthalates. If it's grade C or below, and especially if it has a warning of any kind on the packaging, use the guide to find a safer alternative. There are plenty on the market, and they can be easily ordered online if you can't find them in a store near you. Another option is DIY household cleaners made from baking soda, vinegar, and natural antibacterial and antifungal agents like tea tree oil, which are enjoying a resurgence and are extremely easy to make at very low cost. Rethink 4 household health hazards. 1. Replace PVC-containing shower curtains, which contain volatile organic compounds, phthalates and metals, and are more volatile in a steamy environment, with curtains made from natural alternatives like hemp or the stable and safer vinyl PEVA or glass shower doors. 2. Substitute parchment paper or beeswax cloth for plastic food wrap, which contains endocrine-disruptive compounds. 3. Invest in a good set of glass storage containers and or mason jars instead of using plastic food containers, because they also contain endocrine-disruptive compounds. 4. Retire the non-stick cookware, especially if it has been scratched. The perfluorinated chemicals used to make non-stick surfaces are extremely toxic, particularly when overheated. Try the ceramic-coated green pan for safer non-stick cooking. Refresh your cleaning habits. If you dry clean your clothes or curtains, find a cleaner that uses water-based technology. Yes, this is okay, despite dry clean only labels. Or liquid carbon dioxide, not neurotoxic chemical solvents like perchloroethylene. When hiring a carpet cleaner, ask similar questions about their process. Invest in a high-quality, high-power vacuum that seals in dirt and dust to help minimize your exposure when emptying the collection chamber. Look for one with a HEPA filter. Household dust and dirt is thought to be one of the biggest sources of exposure to endocrine disruptors. Take off your shoes when you come in from outside to minimize bringing in toxins like herbicides. Always make sure the area you are cleaning is well ventilated. Renovate wisely. If you plan to undertake upgrades or renovations in your home, consider the implications of the materials that you live in, sit on, and sleep on. Organic mattresses, while an investment, pay back considerably when you consider that you lie on them for a third of your life. Safer, non-VOC paint costs only a little bit more than regular. VOCs, or volatile organic compounds, are released into air as paint dries. And be sure to investigate the toxicity of the flooring and carpeting you are considering, and look into alternatives, like sustainable surfaces or wool carpeting, which tends to be free of chemical treatments. When replacing old carpeting, take care to remove it quickly and aerate the room, because it may contain phased-out fire retardants that off gas from underneath. Household cleaners are not regulated by law or required to meet legal safety standards. 10 Baking Soda Cleaning Hacks from Annie B. Bond, Green Living Expert. A commonly available mineral full of many cleaning attributes. Baking soda is made from soda ash and is slightly alkaline. Its pH is around 8.1. 7 is neutral. It neutralizes acid-based odors in water and absorbs odors from the air. 1. Drain Cleaner. Pour 1 cup of baking soda down the drain, followed by 3 cups of boiling water. 2. Chemical Smells from Clothes. Mix 1 cup of baking soda into a tub of water and soak clothes for 2 to 3 hours or overnight. Agitate occasionally, repeat if necessary, and wash as usual. This method is great for removing the new smell from clothes. 3. Cat Urine on Rugs and Fabric. Alternate sprinkling on baking soda, which will neutralize acid odors, with white distilled vinegar. 4. Dog odors and urine on rugs and fabric. Sprinkle with baking soda. Let set for a few hours before sweeping up. 5. Silver polish. Make a paste from 1/2 cup of baking soda and a few tablespoons of water. Scoop some onto a clean, soft rag and rub onto the silver. Rinse with water and polish dry. 6. Soft scrubber. Pour about 1/2 cup of baking soda into a bowl and add enough liquid soap or detergent to make a frosting-like texture. Scoop onto a sponge and use to clean your bathtub or tiles. Rinse with water. 7. Scouring powder. Simply sprinkle baking soda into a sink or tub and scrub. 8. Oven cleaner. Sprinkle baking soda onto the bottom of the oven. Squirt with enough water to dampen. Let set overnight, making sure the baking soda is still damp before you go to bed. In the morning, simply scoop the baking soda and grime out with a sponge and rinse. 9. Refrigerator deodorizer. Place an open box in the back of the fridge. It will absorb odors by drawing them to the baking soda molecules. 10. Cutting board deodorizer. Sprinkle the cutting board with baking soda, scrub, and rinse. Be as aware of what you put on your body as what you put in your body. Lose the shoes. If you've ever felt better after a barefoot walk on the beach, or slept better on a wild and free vacation in nature, an emerging body of science called earthing is explaining why. When you take off your shoes and walk on the earth, or simply lie on the grass, you are harnessing the natural negative electrical charge of the earth. This replenishes your supply of free antioxidant electrons, which helps to stabilize your body's bioelectrical systems, promote anti-inflammatory activity by neutralizing positively charged free radicals, and regulate your biorhythms. In an impressive array of studies, this practice, colloquially called earthing, reduced every measure of stress tested. Perhaps no surprise, it's also been shown to be an effective way to restore orderly rhythms of wake and sleep, because it helps resynchronize cortisol to its proper patterns. I'm not sure we even need science to point us in the right direction here, because it's common sense. When you feel the ground under your naked feet, you begin to relax. You breathe better, and your nervous system settles down. You feel rejuvenated afterward, perhaps a little clearer in your thinking, too. Sand, dirt, grass, gravel, and to a lesser extent, even concrete, are conducive surfaces for this most humble of health-promoting acts. So kick off your shoes, stand, sit, or play in the grass. Take your lunch to the park, and use your movement breaks to get outside. And if you want to improve morale in the office, get your colleagues involved in a game of barefoot soccer, tag, or bocce. A daily dose of contact with the earth can help buffer the tsunami of stress that is a part of everyday existence and make you more resilient and energized. Try it for a week and see. Green the way you groom and pamper. What if the criterion you use to evaluate your skincare products were that you could only apply them if you could safely eat them too? Given the extremely large surface area of the skin, it's your largest organ, its highly permeable and porous nature, and its extreme sensitivity to toxic chemicals, this isn't such a wild demand, as what we put on our skin enters and then affects our bodies as much, or maybe even more than, what we ingest. However, I'd advise you not to try that in today's world. Over the past 2 decades, the European Union has banned more than 1,300 chemicals used in personal care products and restricted the levels of over 250 more. To date, the United States has only partially banned 30. Greg Renfrew, a longtime patient and friend, is the founder of Beauty Counter, a brand that is changing the face of clean beauty. This is how she suggests tackling the project of minimizing unintentional exposure to toxins in self-care products. Start with products that cover the largest part of your body, like body wash, body lotion, sunblock, and so on. Use the Never List from BeautyCounter.com for guidance. It lists the over 1,500 questionable or harmful ingredients we prohibit in our formulations, including the top worst offenders like parabens, phthalates, and fragrance. And you can download a wallet-sized version of it to reference while shopping. If any ingredient on the list is in a product you're considering, you know to steer clear of it. Additionally, the Environmental Working Group's Healthy Living app, which includes their famous Skin Deep Guide to safe self-care products, is a great resource to use while shopping to see how your products rank. What many people don't know about personal care products is that terms like natural, botanical, and organic have no meaning in the beauty industry. So doing your own research matters. And while you might assume that natural cosmetics are inherently safer, in fact, heavy metals like lead and cadmium are naturally occurring and often contaminate natural cosmetics. When seeking safer products, know that not all natural brands are safe, and not all synthetic colorants are unsafe. My simple tip is to look for beauty brands that screen their color cosmetics, preferably each batch, for heavy metals. It's also important to realize that your voice matters. I've seen firsthand how individuals can have a significant impact in transforming the beauty industry. You can join the growing movement for cleaner cosmetics by asking for elected leaders for new laws on the beauty industry. To take action, simply text Better Beauty to 52886 to receive a link whereby you can email your representatives. Another guide to help you as you shop is the Think Dirty app from thinkdirtyapp.com. Which to switch? Focus on switching out products you apply most often and leave on the longest, or that make contact with the most intimate and permeable tissues in your body. When you run out of a product, seek a safer, non-toxic alternative, and within a few months you will have stocked a cleaner collection. Skin lotion. It's applied all over the body and left on to absorb deeply. Lotions are frequently made with parabens and petrochemicals. Sunscreen. Look for mineral-based sunblock to reduce exposure to carcinogenic compounds in conventional sunscreen. Deodorant. Applied under the arms near the lymph nodes, which are close to your breast tissue and where absorption is extremely high. Conventional deodorant typically contains aluminium, a metal of concern linked to neurological and other problems. Hair relaxers and colorants, especially those marketed to African American women. These are some of the most toxic products out there. Be sure to rate yours using the Skin Deep Guide. Feminine hygiene products. Choose organic cotton or consider a menstrual cup. Conventional cotton in these intimate products may be bleached with carcinogenic chemicals and contain traces of glyphosate. Lubricants. Standard lubricants can contain petroleum and parabens. Look for authentic toxin-free products like those from Sustain Natural. Scrubs, washes, and toothpastes with microbeads. Microbeads are damaging to aquatic life after they enter waterways, and then they return toxin-filled in your drinking water. Mouthwashes. The alcohol dries out the mouth, increasing the risk for oral cancer. Try the traditional art of oil pulling to naturally increase oral hygiene. Anything antibacterial. The active ingredient triclosan is linked to thyroid disruption and liver and inhalation toxicity, and it harms aquatic life after entering waterways. It's still found in some toothpastes and other personal care products. Products containing fragrance. Under international intellectual property law, the word fragrance can have many harmful ingredients hidden behind it, and companies don't have to list them on the label. The lexicon of personal care ingredients can make your mind melt. So here's a quick cheat to use as you shop. If the first few ingredients listed contain sodium lauryl or laureth sulfate, or petrochemicals like propylene, glycol, paraffin, mineral oil, butylene glycol, isopropyl alcohol, and or petrolatum, or if the bottom ingredients contain fragrance, or parfum, DEA, diethanolamine, MEA, monoethanolamine, TEA, triethanolamine, and any parabens, butyl paraben, propyl paraben, methyl paraben, and ethyl paraben, it's a sign to put the product down and look for something cleaner. OMG, EMFs. If you're constantly tired, irritable, unable to focus at work or home, or having headaches or insomnia, turn off your router and power down the cell phone. For that matter, if you're healthy and want to stay healthy, turn off your router and power down the cell phone, at least at night, when studies have shown that the body is most vulnerable to their stressful electromagnetic frequencies, and when your body very much needs to rest and repair. For the average person, the biological effects of the electromagnetic energy emitted by communication technologies, as well as from things like the electrical wiring in your walls, are impossible to see and difficult to measure. But these invisible forces, frequencies of energy like light, but man-made, not natural, are interacting with your biology all day and night. And medicine is just starting to understand the dysregulating impact. For the last several decades, reams of scientific literature have been alerting us to how radiation from cell phones, communications towers, Wi-Fi routers, smart meters, and antennas present a system-wide, biologically disrupting phenomenon. This phenomenon not only impacts our ability to function well, sleep, and think clearly, it also causes damage at the cellular and molecular level, which can lead to cancer and impact the blood-brain barrier, cardiovascular system, immune system, stress response, and much more. In 2011, the World Health Organization's International Agency for Research on Cancer, IARC, classified this band of radiation, which is known as radiofrequency radiation, as Group 2B, possible carcinogen, and there are calls based on more recent science to upgrade this. Esteemed scientists around the globe say this is a growing environmental health crisis, and one that we are largely asleep to. In the US, the wireless industry is now preparing to install ultra-high-frequency 5G antennae, what is sometimes called Wi-Fi on steroids, and is literally multi-grade technology. On utility poles throughout neighborhoods, mere feet from people's homes, possibly with no local oversight or intervention if they get their way. It's relatively easy to talk about the behavioral problems like compulsion and distraction associated with technology, but the conversation about the invisible biological effects makes everyone uncomfortable because it is all around us and feels so out of our control. Yet, as we stand at the dawn of the Internet of Things, in which homes are filled with smart technologies, cars drive themselves, and your watch is constantly beaming information gathered from your body, concerned experts are saying that our mitochondria, which evolved to respond to only natural types of electromagnetic frequency, like sunlight and electrons from the Earth's surface, are becoming stressed beyond their capacity, and there exists the need for society to rethink its relationship with technology. We must appreciate the ways in which wireless technologies interfere with the electrical systems in our bodies, and choose technologies that minimize these exposures. This becomes even more important as we add more and more technology to our living environments. Clinicians are starting to see the connection between wireless radiation exposure and the extraordinary growth in chronic illnesses, which includes seeing illnesses in children that previously were only seen in elderly patients. Anecdotally, many patients and doctors alike have reported that chronic symptoms like headaches, behavioral issues, or insomnia have receded through small EMF-reducing interventions, which can have a big impact. Wireless reduction strategies are especially important if you have children in your family, because their bodies and brains are still developing. They are also important for the elderly, where symptoms from wireless radiation exposures can be mistaken for the signs of aging. We can't afford to live in denial. Use the following guidelines to reduce your exposure to EMFs and stay abreast of new developments through Watchdog and educational sites like ManhattanNeighbors.org and EHTrust.org. Your health and that of your family may depend on it. Practice good cell hygiene. Never hold your phone to your head to talk. Instead, use it in speakerphone mode or with an air tube headset. Text instead of calling whenever possible, and try not to use it when signal quality is poor. Don't wear it on your body while it's switched on. Whenever possible, use a hard-wired corded phone. Cordless phones emit high radiation, or use Skype or FaceTime on your hard-wired computer to make calls. Reduce your cell use in cars, even with headsets. The radiation gets magnified when it reflects off metal. Don't use a cell phone near pregnant women and young children, and never let a child use a cell phone. The radiation permeates their skulls much more powerfully. Clean up your tech habits. Never work with your laptop on your lap, and if you have a wireless router, turn it off at night. To be extra safe, switch your internet connection back to a wired Ethernet cable instead of wireless. When you're not online, turn off your computer or device's wireless connectivity software, including Bluetooth and AirPort. Switch to wired external keyboards, mouses, and printers. Printers are a very high source of exposure, and learn the risks of smart meters installed in your home and the ways to mitigate them at takebackyourpower.net, or check out emfsafetystore.com for their smart meter shield kit and other shielding and EMF measurement supplies. You can also have a building biology specialist assess your exposure levels to EMFs, as well as other toxins like mold in your home or office, and advise on health-supporting changes. Find a building biology specialist at hbelc.org. Get wise and get involved. Stay informed and do your part with citizens groups like electromagnetichealth.org, the Environmental Health Trust, and the EMF Safety Network. We must appreciate the ways in which wireless technologies interfere with the electrical systems in our bodies. Think about your drink. My personal point of view is that alcohol is a toxin that harms the liver, kills brain cells, alters the microbiome, and disrupts sleep. And that when it comes to some beers, ciders, liquors, and liqueurs, it's also a significant source of carbs that could otherwise be avoided. Most of my patients who drink wine daily, even dry wine, tend to put on weight and store fat. But I'm well aware that I'm in the minority here, and the millions of city dwellers I live among definitely don't agree. Drinking is a part of life for many people, and a way to connect and commune. If that's the case for you, I simply invite you to gently consider how and why you drink, to determine if it's a habit done automatically or a pleasurable ritual that fills you with well-being. There are four questions that are worth asking yourself in order to understand your relationship to alcohol. Is that glass of wine, beer, or cocktail a treat you truly relish sip by sip, or a default drink you pour each night without much consideration? Is your drink of choice an enriching enhancement to your meal or social experience? Or is it your way of medicating stress, anxiety, or a lack of joy, or helping you lose inhibitions that otherwise hold you back? Do you tend to drink alone, or with a partner, or in a group setting? In each case, why? Are you happy with your relationship to alcohol, or is there something you'd like to change about it? Context is everything when it comes to drinking. Tuning in to why you're drinking and being conscious of its purpose each time you do it is a powerful tool for keeping your relationship with alcohol in healthy balance. Check out the resources at betterdrinkingculture.org. Give your mitochondria what they need. Your mitochondria are your energy powerhouses, the tiny factories in your cells that turn the food you eat and oxygen you breathe into energy in the form of ATP, or adenosine triphosphate, which powers the biochemical reactions in your cells. They are especially abundant in the cells of your heart, brain, and muscles, which demand the most energy. Though you likely don't think about them, the vitality of your mitochondria is pivotal to how energetic you feel, how robust your metabolism is, and how clearly you think. And like a factory that slows down production when resources run low or conditions are poor, mitochondria produces less energy when they don't get the raw materials they need, encounter too much stress, are exposed to toxins, electromagnetic frequencies, infections or allergens, or are trying to do their work in an overly sedentary body. You'll start hearing about mitochondria more and more as science is finding long-anticipated answers to the mysteries about how they work. I believe that your mitochondria are likely the mechanism by which lifestyle changes like diet, exercise, sleep, and sunbathing initiate meaningful improvements in how you function and feel. I also see mitochondria as the Western equivalent of qi, the essential force of life and longevity that is so deliberately cared for and protected in traditional Chinese medicine. Mitochondrial deterioration is at the root of the fatigue we associate with getting older, and is possibly related to heart disease, lung disease, neurodegenerative diseases, and age-related diseases. But you can do something to fix that. The more you boost your mitochondrial function and quantity, the better you will feel, and the more gracefully you will age. Initiate 14 essential habits to slow the deterioration of your mitochondria. 1. Quit eating sugar. Mitochondria don't like using sugar as food. 2. Adopt a grain-free diet to further limit the amount of sugar in your blood. 3. Eat more vegetables to gain more nourishing phytonutrients. 4. Consume plenty of healthy fats. These are the preferred fuel of mitochondria. 5. Eat clean. Pesticides and toxins damage mitochondria. 6. Practice intermittent fasting. 7. Develop a routine of high-intensity interval training. HIIT has been shown to make more mitochondria. 8. Get strong. There is more mitochondria in lean muscle mass than in fat. 9. Practice better sleep hygiene. 10. Soak up some sun. Sunlight is a powerful mitochondrial booster. 11. Avoid electromagnetic radiation. 12. Start your day with a cold shower. Cold exposure in short bursts helps trigger the production of new mitochondria. 13. Take supplements. CoQ10, glutathione, magnesium, B vitamins, krill oil, alpha-lipoic acid, nicotinamide, riboside, and PPQ, pyrrolaquinoline, quinone, are key sources of mitochondrial support. 14. Reduce extraneous medications. A number of medications, including statin drugs, antidepressants, and anti-anxiety medications, have been documented to reduce mitochondrial function. The more you boost your mitochondrial function and quantity, the better you will feel and the more gracefully you will age. Grow your own sprouts. Turn a corner of your kitchen counter into a mini vegetable garden. Sprouts are a vegetable power food, very inexpensive, a cinch to grow, and packed with enzymes that help your body extract nutrition. Think vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential fats from other foods. Sprouts are the just-popping growth of a plant seed, the first iteration of a new plant. All it takes to sprout is a few basic supplies: a very small dose of TLC, 2 minutes a day for 3 to 5 days, and bingo, you have a supply of supercharged plant food to add a boost to your meals. A sprout habit pays back not only with fresh veggies, but also prodigious detoxifying and protective benefits. Broccoli sprouts in particular are known for their extremely high levels of cancer-fighting compounds, especially one called sulforaphane that kickstarts the release of the liver's detoxification enzymes. Soaking and sprouting is a game-changing technique that you can also use to reduce the inflammatory lectin content of beans, legumes, and grains. Pick your seeds. You can sprout a spectrum of plant foods. There are leafy sprouts, brassica sprouts, bean sprouts, and more. Start with a universally pleasing and easy-to-source brassica, like mildly peppery arugula or broccoli, and always look for sprouting seeds from a good organic, non-GMO source. Then, once you've got broccoli and its brethren growing, explore other types of seeds to expand your repertoire. Get sprouting. All you need is a quart-sized canning jar and a wide-mouthed canning ring, plus a mesh sprouting screen or a plastic sprouting lid. Alternatively, an easy sprout sprouter can be purchased for less than $15. Grow your own sprouts, step one. At night, pour about 3 tablespoons of sprouting seeds into your canning jar. Place the sprouting screen over the top of the jar and screw on the canning ring. Pour about 2 cups of non-chlorinated water through the screen. To increase the mineral content, add a piece of kombu, a type of seaweed, to the jar before adding the water. Swirl the seeds, drain, and then cover again with about 2 cups of water. Leave the jar on your counter overnight. Step 2. In the morning, drain the water and remove the kombu if used. Add another 2 cups of water and then rinse, swirl, and drain again. Once drained, lay the jar on its side at a slight angle. Prop it up by using a bowl with a rim or a pan with something that wedges the bottom of the jar up an inch or two. Step 3. 2 or 3 times a day, drain the old water, rinse with fresh water, and drain again. The seed should be moist but free of standing water. If you see furry white cilia clouds on the sprout tails, they need a little more moisture in the jar. Add a few drops and shake gently. Place the jar back on its side. Watch your sprouts sprout. They should start to fill the jar, gradually turning green. This takes 3 to 5 days, and sometimes longer for greens. Step 4. When the sprouts look quite long and green, shake them into a bowl, wrap them gently in a paper towel, and store in a plastic bag in the fridge. Keeping your sprouts dry helps stop growth and limit spoilage. Step 5. Enjoy a handful of sprouts per day on salads and soups, or even blended into smoothies. Use within 5 days. SproutPeople.com is an excellent source for quality sprouting seed supplies. All it takes to sprout is a few basic supplies, a very small dose of TLC, and bingo, you have a supply of supercharged plant food to add a boost to your meals. Create a smart supplement strategy. In a perfect world, no one would need supplements. Our food would contribute the optimal nutrition to fund every biochemical action of the body, easily and flawlessly, and keep us energized and resilient as we age. Given that it's not a perfect world, and that the nutritional quality of food, even healthfully grown and produced food, has degraded, while stresses of all kinds have increased, I consider high-quality supplements to be essential health boosters. They're not substitutes for a good diet, but they can help fill the gaps left by a compromised food system, replenish the nutrients that are burned up by exposure to chemicals. The body uses more nutrients to protect you, and in times of stress or little sleep, and aid with the inevitable decrease in nutritional absorption as you age. Supplements are important because if the raw materials required for metabolic reactions aren't coming from food, the body will scavenge them from your bones, liver, or other tissues, which takes a toll on your energy and health. The strategy when it comes to supplementation should be 1. Always focus on eating the best diet you can, first and foremost. 2. Buy the best quality supplements you can afford. One or two good ones outweigh multiple poor quality ones. 3. If good quality supplements are cost prohibitive, focus on high quality food, exercise, sleep, and stress reduction instead. While there are many excellent supplements that you can use to build a program of support targeted to your needs, there are a few I recommend as a baseline protocol. A good multivitamin that contains vitamin D, B vitamins, and magnesium. Multivitamin supplements play a crucial part in all metabolic processes of the body, including assisting in energy generation and promoting growth, reproduction, and health of cells. A good multivitamin is the foundation of health and nutrition. Avoid the one-a-day kind. They can never contain the amount of minerals you need. Do look for ones containing methylated forms of vitamin B12, methylcobalamin, and folic acid as L5-methyltetrahydrofolate, because many people have minor genetic defects that interfere with optimal methylation, a process central to detoxification, inflammation control, immune function, and more. Take your multi with food to enhance its absorption. If you are on any medications, review your multivitamins ingredients with your doctor to ensure there are no contraindications. Note, in sunless months, most people will need extra vitamin D supplementation in addition to a multivitamin. Aim for a combined total amount of at least 2,000 IUs a day, unless blood tests indicate greater need. High-quality fish oil. Fish oils contain the omega-3s that support your body's ability to prevent chronic diseases and help protect it against inflammation. They also keep skin, hair, and nails healthy, enhance your focus, and stabilize your mood. My preference is krill oil over other types of fish oil. Krill are small, shrimp-like crustaceans that feed on phytoplankton, because it also contains astaxanthin, a powerful antioxidant. Given the high levels of contamination in fish, krill is a safe and low-toxic way to get your supply of essential fatty acids, because it is so low on the food chain and harvested in clean waters. Of all the sources of omega-3s, krill oil is the most environmentally sustainable. Make sure it is cold-processed, not processed with chemical solvents. And when buying any fish oil, choose a brand that has been tested for mercury. A probiotic. If you are consuming a diverse array of fermented foods throughout the week, you can get away without a probiotic. But if not, include one daily. At least 20 billion CFUs for everyday use. Double that if you're prescribed antibiotics. Rotating brands every couple of months to ensure you get diverse strains.